coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Man, we got a really good show for you today. In segments 2 and 3, we're going to be speaking with my 33-year-old son, an old man in his own right, father of 5 kids, and still plugging along. He is a software developer for a major corporation in St. Louis, and he's going to be discussing with us the pros and cons of computers. How do they affect your everyday life? How do they affect your family, your kids? You know, what are the pitfalls? What are the good parts? We'll talk about the philosophy of all of that. But we'll do all of that in segments 2 and 3. And then, of course, in segment 4, I'll tell you what I really think. Wow, what is happening in my life? It's coming at me hard and fast. We finally got most of the canning done. We're moving into hunting season. This is opening day of archery deer season in the great state of Michigan. And I did not go out hunting this morning. I think, man, that might be a first. I don't ever remember missing an opening morning for archery deer season, at least not in my my adult life. But I got up and it was raining cats and dogs. And I thought, you know what? I don't have to shoot a deer this morning. I can wait till this afternoon. But my attitude is different this year than it's ever been any other year when it comes to deer hunting. Usually, the 2 months before deer season, I get all excited. I get giddy and I practice and I go out and I check out my stands and I set up new stands and I set up trail cameras. I do everything because I'm just so excited about it. This year, I've been working so hard that I haven't had time for any of those things. And quite frankly, I enjoy deer hunting. But this year, when I think of deer hunting, it's kind of like cutting wood for the fireplace. You know, I think, okay, I've got to get 15 truckloads of wood, firewood for the year. And now I'm thinking, okay, well, I got to get at least 3 big deer, maybe 4 medium-sized deer to fill the freezer. I've never felt that way before. But, you know, maybe once I get out there, the bloodlust will take over and I'll get more excited about it. That predatorial instinct will, you know, arise and, I'll have blood dripping from my fangs again. I don't know. We'll see what happens this afternoon. It'll help, certainly, if it's not raining out there. But we'll see. We have our fireplace going again now. About 3 days ago, we started burning wood. It's cold. It's damp. I think it's like 40-some degrees out there right now and raining. But, you know, after, 6 months of not burning wood in the fireplace, I'm always excited about that first fire because it starts to get a little cold, a little damp, and you just go ahead and you just start a fire just to take off the dampness, dry out the air a little bit, put a little more heat in there. And boy, we did that a couple of days ago, and the kids are happy about it. Sarah's happy about it, and I've got plenty of wood, so I'm happy about it too. You know, the thing is, I will be equally happy in spring, right about the first part of April, when I no longer have to burn wood in the house. Because after 6-7 months of burning wood, it's a pain in the butt. It really, really is. So, you know, in October, it's a joy. In April, it's a pain in the butt. The bloom is off the rose. So, but for right now, we're enjoying the wood fireplace, all the heat and the ambiance that it provides for us. So, you know, God bless the firewood and the nice warm fire. My diet, how's my diet going? It's going really well. I changed from the John Correa diet, where it's low carb, high protein, but he fasted for 16 hours a day. That ain't working for me, so I made a change. I have a medium-sized breakfast. I'll have, maybe two eggs and some bacon, a little bit of juice. This morning I had a low-fat hazelnut latte, and I sip on that all morning long, and it kind of takes the edge off my hunger until noon. And then I'll have maybe a sandwich, a big sandwich, big tuna fish or ham and cheese, something like that. Some cottage cheese, been eating a lot of that. And then at night, I'll have some hamburger or tonight maybe I'll have venison backstraps. We'll see how that goes. But, it's working for me. You know, it's been 16 days, and I've lost 5 pounds. So I do that one more time, and boy, I will be well on my way to my goal of 175 pounds. I weighed on 175 in boot camp, and I'm hoping to make it there by November. It would be nice to do that, but we'll see what happens. I had a big event Saturday. Saturday, I was teaching a church security team out on the range. We spent 8 hours on the range, and I did the level one Beyond Basic CPL class with them. There were 7 of them, and I kind of tailored it towards church security so they could get a little more benefit out of it. And man, we just had a great time. These guys were good shots when they came. They're excellent shots now after 8 hours on the range. But one of them had a Trijicon red dot sight. And oh, I had never shot a red dot sight, but ever since I spoke with Gabe Suarez from Suarez International about red dot sights, you remember that episode where we talked about that? I've been wanting to do that. And boy, I tell you, we were shooting at 75 feet. And, you know, for me, when I shoot in front of a class, I mean, I'm a good shot, but I'm not a great shot, and sometimes I miss. So I don't have a lot to gain by shooting in front of my students, you know, because, you know, if I shoot really well, it's like, oh, okay, well, they expect me to shoot really well, right? But if I miss, oh, man, do they give me crap. They just do. And it ends up on Facebook. But one of the students had a Trijicon RMR Type 2 red dot sight. And this one, boy, it was really, really nice. And he had it on a Walther Q5 match pistol, which is a nice pistol too. And so I had no excuse for missing. So what we did is we put up a business card, just a tiny little business card. And at 75 feet, I pulled up, I aimed, I found the dot, and I put it in the center of that business card, pressed the trigger, and that business card flew off the cardboard. And inside, I was totally shocked because I had hit the staple in the center of the business card from 75 feet that was holding it to the cardboard. But I just pretended like, well, yeah, I do this all the time, right? Why are you surprised that I hit that? But, you know, got some oohs and ahs. And so I finished out the, 14 more rounds, went up there. And, boy, I had about a 6-inch group at 75 feet. And I was astounded. But I just pretended like, well, yeah, I can do this anytime I want to. So, of course, that will never end up on Facebook. You know, only when I miss does it end up on Facebook. But anyways, geez, I go online and I'm looking at this site. They retail for $577. Oh, I want one of these so bad. You don't even need an energy source, no battery for it. It works on ambient light and tritium. So, boy, I'd love to have one of these, but at $600, you know, with shipping and taxes, probably closer to $650. I'll probably never get one of these, but Man, would I sure love to have one, because when you get older, you can't see those iron sights as well as you used to. But boy, I sure can see that dot. It was a big old amber dot, and it was right there, and I knew where to put it. And, oh, something to hope for, I suppose. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what Santa brings Skip here in a couple of months. All right, well, let's get into the news now before we run out of time. Road rage incident. I always warn you guys against road rage, right? No room for ego and guns. This is coming out of Heidelberg Township in Pennsylvania. Police say road rage incident ends with one man pooping on another. How does that work? Police say one man defecated on another man during a road rage episode in Pennsylvania. What, did it occur like in slow motion or something? Quote, the accused and the victim got into a road rage argument, leading the accused to defecate on the victim, Pennsylvania State Police said. Authorities say the new Tripoli man got into the argument about 8:45 a.m. on June 8 in Heidelberg Township, which is located about 17 miles north of Allentown. Police did not say what sparked the fight or how it escalated. The suspect has been charged with harassment. I think I'd charge him with more than harassment. Man, you know, there's got to be a story here. I wanted to know details. It's like I wanted to know details, but I didn't want to know details. It's like, because this could be really gross. So I searched all over the internet. I found some more details here. Here is a headline from Miami Herald. Man who pooped on driver during road rage incident says he just had to drop it. Why? Why did he have to? Many drivers have felt the red-hot flash of road rage. Few, however, have been so angry they dropped their pants and pooped on the other driver. Yes, I can honestly say I've never done that. But that's precisely what happened Friday, according to a report from WFMZ. The station reported that two drivers got in an argument during a road rage incident in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, that resulted in one driver defecating on the other. The driver, later identified as 69-year-old Henry George Weaver of New Tripoli, was charged with harassment. 69 years old. You can't outrun somebody 69 years old. There were no further details released on what caused the incident, nor about exactly how one would actually go about pooping on another driver during the traffic dispute. The story, brief as it was, went viral. People wanted to know. Yeah, I want to know, too. Call me morbid. On Monday, Weaver said he did defecate on the other man, but that he had to do it because he suffers from irritable bowel syndrome. Really? That's your defense? You had to do it. And the timing was just a coincidence? I've put up with it for years, he told the site. You get worked up and you're going to have to go. I couldn't control my bowels and he was right there. And it's just as simple as that. Oh, man. Irritable bowel syndrome is a common ailment that can cause many different symptoms in the large intestine. Some people suffer constipation while others suffer diarrhea or abdominal pain. There is no one known cause, according to National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases. Weaver said it all began when the other driver pulled in front of him, so close it scared the dickens out of him. Well, it scared more than the dickens out of you. The two wound up getting out of their cars and having a verbal argument, he told the station. Now, I wonder, you know, you've heard of projectile vomiting. This was projectile diarrhea. I wonder how many feet per second when that happens. Did he break like 1,000 feet per second? Did it knock the other man to the ground? How much penetration did he get? I don't know. There's no details about this. Quote, he was right against me. He was right there, Weaver told Lehigh Valley Live. I had to drop it. He just got me worked up. Something was going to happen. I could have easily have missed him if I had turned around, but it happened right then. He told NBC 10 there wasn't any choice in the matter, and he had no choice but to go right on the man's pant leg. He told the station the other man didn't say anything before driving away. What's he going to say? Oh, well, hey, there's lunch on me. Okay. He said, quote, I'm not proud of it. I messed up. It happens. No. Mr. Weaver, it doesn't happen, okay? This is the first time that I've ever heard of projectile pooping on another man because of a road rage incident. You know, but I gotta thank you for spicing up all of our lives, because that's just crazy. You know what? And I think there's something wrong, not just with your bowels, but your cranium as well. You gotta be a little nuts to drop your drawers and projectile poop on another man. That's just nuts. I wonder if the other guy, the victim, is going to sue you in civil court for, you know, the psychological trauma that you caused him. I'd be tempted to do that. I certainly know. All right. Well, hey, folks, we are out of time. Oh, I had another news article, but that one was so interesting. Maybe we'll catch this other news article when we come back. It was a good one as well. All right, folks. We've got a two-minute break here. Go ahead and check out our sponsors. Go to firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and get yourself legally protected. I wonder if Firearms Legal Protection would defend you in a case of projectile pooping. I don't know. I'll have to ask Terry Johnson about that. And then, of course, go to elitefirearms.us and find out what kind of firearm you should be using and carrying for personal defense. When we come back, we will be speaking with software developer and my son, Chris Coriel, all about families, the internet, electronic devices. What are they doing? What's the good, the bad, and the ugly? This is Skip Coriel and Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is Siege Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. I am speaking with another Coriel. Chris Coriel, my son, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy. Okay. You are my oldest son. Getting a little long in the tooth, I noticed. What are you, like 35 now? Is that how old you are?
Not quite.
You're 31, aren't
the
you?
The truth is, I'm hesitating because I'm pretty sure I'm 31, but I might have hit 32. Sometimes I forget.
That is not a good sign. If you're forgetting at 31 or 32, the future does not bode well for you, son. But hey, you have good genes, and you come from long-lived forebears. So you should be, you're good till 45, 50. So don't worry, okay?
Yeah, you still have most of your hair and your memory, so I think I'll be all right.
All right, good. All right, well, now, son, the reason we're talking to you today is, you know, you work as a software developer, a professional software developer, so you're much better at computers than I am, and probably most parents could say that about most of their kids.
Allegedly,
right. You know, and this is the Home Defense Show, so what I wanted to talk about today was how do we defend our family against things like the internet or anything on the computer that might harm our family. Before we do that, though, first give us your background. Tell us about all things Chris Coryell.
How much time do you have?
About 60 seconds.
All right. All things Chris Coryell. Well, let's see. Most recently, yes, because my full-time work as a software developer is actually fairly new. Until about 2 years ago, I was actually working, doing a lot of work as an emergency medical technician, and I was doing software development on the side, freelance. I've developed programs for different businesses and things like that. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that I actually stopped doing EMT work and started doing software development full-time. And I just had my 2-year work anniversary out here in Missouri. That's what I do, and I still do a lot of stuff on the side. So,
and you have a lot of experience with family, aside from being my son. How many kids you got now?
As of about 3 weeks ago, five.
Five kids, and the oldest is how old?
Eight.
Eight. All right. You realize you're really testing me here. I mean, you know, it's bad enough you made me a grandpa, so I feel old as it is. But now it's
you knew
like,
that was coming.
Yeah, yeah. I've got 11 grandkids now, and someone the other day asked me, you know, what all their names were and their birthdays, and blood started shooting out my eyeballs and my head exploded. I just couldn't do it. It was terrible.
To be fair, Marissa has made you a grandfather way more times than I have.
Well, one more time. That's it. 6 and 5 is 11. But hey, you know, I got 11 grandkids just from the first two, and I got 7 kids. So, my gosh, I need a computer spreadsheet program just to keep track of my offspring. But hey.
Well, I think you're trying to compete with your mother. How many grandkids does she have?
I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I actually don't know either.
3 digits. Who knows? Let's talk about computers and your family. First, you've got small children. You know, there's a lot of controversy out there. There's talk about, you know, are computers, electronic devices, are they good for kids? Are they not good for kids? What's your opinion, and how do you handle that at your house?
Let's see. Not being a doctor or somebody who has time to really go out and study, but just from personal experience drawn at home, computers, they're a tool, just like anything else. And as we introduce new technology with anything, we have to learn how to do it well. You know, like when cars were introduced or the telephone or the cell phone was introduced, a lot of people thought that it wasn't a good thing because of, you know, all of the, not only the good things that came with it, but the bad. So it's just like anything else. You know, with kids having more access to information on the plus side, there's a lot of cool stuff. Like, I've already got my kids doing some basic programming. They like to make little video games, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see some of the stuff that they've done. Like we had a neighbor who would run, and she had one of those jogging strollers, and she had a 1-year-old, and so she would jog, and she would pass by her house. He actually made a video game where the main character was a little baby, and the objective was to escape from the womb.
Now that is funny.
I'm not kidding.
Ethan's only 8 years old, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid, I tell you, my grandson, he's just,
boy, it's like when you're talking to him, it's like you got to be on your toes, because if you're not real sharp, he'll give you a really funny look, like, you know, I can't believe, you know, I've got your genetic makeup. He's a really smart kid.
That's me dealing with me when I was his age. Everything I did to you has come back.
Well, and you know what? I think that's appropriate. I really, really do. And I got to tell you, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying watching you get twice of everything that you gave me.
Appreciate that.
Chris, we're doing something.
Caitlin does it too, so.
Yeah.
Caitlin does it too, and if they're like Legos. People used to just create and make things with Legos and Lincoln Logs, random pieces of paper and tin foil balls, and this is, it's been really fun actually to see the things that they create and come up with.
Yeah. Well, I think we what we do at our house is we limit the screen time. We'll have, you know, like 45 minutes a day, something like that. But you know what we've noticed with our kids, and maybe your kids aren't like that. We limit them to about 45 minutes a day simply because if they get too much screen time, they get really grumpy, antisocial, impatient with other people. I'm just curious, does that happen with your kids, or are my kids just special?
We notice it with ours. We notice it, you know, we've asked the same question to other parents, and they notice it. Though it is really cool to see what the kids can create and work with,
mm-hmm.
after too long, they really don't want to put it down and get really, really crabby when you ask them to.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's addicting or they just get so into it, they don't want to put it down. But I suppose too much of anything is not a good thing.
I think it's most certainly addicting. Actually, if you look at Apple's latest version of iOS that just came out, and I haven't had a chance to look at it a whole lot yet, but they actually have built into their operating system something called screen time. Even for the adults, they can manage and see reports of how much screen time they're actually spending on their phone, I believe in what apps. And I think Instagram actually independently rolled out the same thing, where you can set limits on how much time you spend on Instagram.
Wow.
So people are starting to realize that this, it can be, it doesn't have to be, but it has the potential to be a big problem. And they're actually taking steps to enable people to mitigate and bring some discipline to it.
Yeah. Now, what about things like, are there any special tools, applications, or anything like that, that you can put on your kids' electronic devices that will help you monitor or restrict them, keep them from going on the wrong websites, that kind of a deal?
Oh, there's all sorts of stuff you can do. The problem is for many parents, their kids are better at computers than they are. And it gets especially difficult if your kid has a cell phone, because you can block, you know, blocking things on the internet, on a home network, on a laptop, or on your phone, if your kid is actually connecting through Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
is a lot easier than, say, doing it just from a cell phone. But there are apps out there that will let you do it. There are apps you can download onto your kid's phone. They will actually cut off browsing or access to apps after a certain amount of screen time has been reached. One of them I looked at actually allowed you to, you could set up chores that they could do to get screen time back. So if they go over, they can do chores. I think it is a absolutely great program. The only reason I don't use that particular one, and this is kind of the Achilles heel of any of them, is in order for this third-party application it's made by a company, in order for them to actually control and monitor and restrict that stuff, like all the stuff that your kid browses goes through their system, basically. So they know all the stuff that your kids are looking at so that they can, you know, quantify it and determine if it's good or bad, and then cut it off as appropriate. And no, nothing bad, at least from this particular company, has ever happened. I get nervous if I have one central point that is looking at all of my traffic. You know, it might be a moot point because your internet service provider is doing all that anyways. So for every tool, there's kind of a downside to it. If it were an easy problem, I think we'd have fixed it by now.
Well, you know, I get concerned about that sometimes. I mean, I'll be on the internet. Maybe I'll go to a website or I'll go on Amazon and I'll purchase something or I'll just browse on something. And then in like 10 seconds later, I'll start getting pop-ups for advertisements for things that I was just browsing for. And I don't know. Should we be concerned about, you know, all of these people, computers, companies collecting our information, collecting our data? They call that data mining, don't they? Is that what that is?
That's very lucrative. I mean, why do you think all of Google's services are free?
Because they're not free. You're giving up your privacy. Is that right?
And it's lucrative.
Yeah. Any way around that?
You really have to do some analysis on how much you care, because with all of that data mining that they collect, they can do some really cool and convenient things. I mean, man, you want to talk about convenient. It's really nice. But so as you dial back, it becomes less and less of an issue. But, you know, for example, some email clients, if you buy an airplane ticket, the airline will always send you a confirmation, and your email client, you know, as it scans, it will realize, oh, this is an airline ticket. There's a date here. Would you like me to add this to your calendar?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Gmail, where they automatically added an event to my calendar. And I got an email from them saying, hey, we just rolled out this new feature where we can automatically add things to your calendar. We did that. We're letting you know about it. And here's the one we just made for you. Hmm. And I'm like, no, if I wanted it on my calendar, I would put it there. And then I had to Google how to turn it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But on the one hand, that is very nice. It keeps you from missing appointments, and it'll automatically, you can do things like have them automatically save contacts if somebody sends you an email address. It is almost like having your own personal Jarvis or Pepper Potts in your pocket. The only problem is for those things to work, they have to have access and scan your stuff.
Yeah.
Some people don't mind, and the conveniences are really not.
Well, let's talk about that some more in the next segment, because you've just brought some questions to mind for me. So I want to ask you some more questions about that in segment 3. So, Chris, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a 2-minute break. While we're away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical, and then go to elitefirearms.us and see what Larry Jackson can do for you and your family with choosing the proper firearm for self-defense. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. When we come back, we will be speaking again with my son, Chris, about computer and internet security. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Felix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get civilian combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the concealed carry book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with software developer, my son, a.k.a. Chris Coriel. Chris, we were talking about convenience, how computers make it more convenient, easier to live. My question, and maybe this is just some old fart talking, because it seems like the older someone is, the less into computers they are, because quite frankly, when I was born, computers took up an entire room, and they could add 3 plus 5, and that's about it. Now you've got a tiny little iPhone, and it's a high-powered computer that works really fast and that will run your entire life if you let them do it, and it'll even talk to you. I'm not convinced this is good for the human race. Convince me that where we're headed is good for our families and humanity.
Convince you that it's good. Well, you're also making the assumption that I'm convinced that it's good.
So. Well, if I'm wrong in my assumption, tell me.
I don't think it's necessarily bad. I think the stakes are just higher. Like, if you get into a car accident and you're going 10 miles an hour, you run into a wall, it's not going to be as bad as if you hit a wall doing 75. There's so much more potential for good things to happen because of all the technology that we have, and so much more potential for abuse.
Yeah.
Scenario. Let's do a devil's advocate thing here. Good thing. I was actually talking to a buddy that is... One nice thing about being out here in St. Louis is there are amazingly smart software developers all over the place looking to make the world better. And he was working on, he's smarter than I am, so I'm going to do my best to not butcher this. They were looking at using machine learning to analyze DNA to find cancer in people.
Hmm.
Like, literally being able to look at the DNA, and they would feed this DNA into a computer. And I don't know exactly how, like, the algorithms he was using or how it was working, but they were training it to find cancer earlier.
Wow.
Now, since cancer kills a lot more people than it used to, this could be incredibly good. Or other things you can do, like... being able to analyze behavior and hone in on people who would either be a threat to themselves or to other people is another thing that you can use machine learning to do. So there's potential there to do some amazing things, but also with everything now being online, there has never been more opportunity to misuse people's information.
Yeah.
Whether you do it on purpose or whether you're a legitimate business And because your systems are online, nefarious actors come in while you're trying to do something good and breach your data. Facebook, I think, just released I should double check this, but I think it was 50 million users were affected by a breach they just had. Target.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard about that.
That's the other issue, is even just good people trying to do their jobs and run their businesses have your data, and then it ends up in bad places. So we could do so many great things.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So many bad things could happen.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, someone could argue and say, listen, Skip, you know, without computers, you wouldn't be able to do a podcast and talk to someone, you know, 1,000 miles away and record it and obviously put it on the internet. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do that. And there's so many things that you wouldn't be able to do. But I guess for me, I have perspective because of my advanced years. It wasn't that long ago where nobody had a cell phone and computers were, you know, a big deal. It really wasn't that long ago. And we survived.
I remember my first Apple computer with shuffle puck on it.
Yeah, well, I remember what Missile Command and Asteroids and Pac-Man, and boy, those were all big deals, you know, back in the day. But, you know, I know I've said this many, many times, you know, if I could wave my hand and make computers go away, I would be really tempted to do it. But I know that if I did that, we would lose a lot of good things, but we'd lose a lot of bad things too. There's got to be a balance someplace where computers are not running every aspect of your life and you're getting most of the good and not so much of the bad. I mean, maybe just having a really good password can protect you from hackers or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I think our focus should be on mitigation, because the technology is here to stay. So how do we make the best of it? And I would point out, a lot of people harp on computers as you could make so many bad things go away. The same thing could be said for almost any other technology, like guns. I know that'll hit your audience. They love guns.
That's guns right.
Do, a gun in the hands of a good person can be very good. And
yeah.
Very obviously, a gun in the hands of a bad person can be really bad. So you trace that argument back far enough, and you could eliminate a lot of bad things just by eliminating people. Every single piece of technology that has ever existed brings with it good and bad. Bring out the good, suppress the bad.
It is a package deal, without a doubt. Well, I think for me, and maybe a lot of the families that I deal with, you know, they're, tend to be Christian families, a lot of homeschool families. You know, a lot of homeschoolers, they use computers in their schooling, you know, and that's certainly a good thing. It allows them, I mean, geez, I mean, I just finished writing a novel yesterday. I can't tell you how many times I went on Wikipedia in this last novel, because, you know, you're writing about things that you don't really know anything about. You know, for example, okay, I need to find out what the armament is on an F-18 fighter or an, you know, a Blackhawk or an Apache attack helicopter.
Yeah, Wikipedia, you know, takes too long. You could just say, hey, Siri, and then ask her the question, and she'll tell you.
I could do that.
Or, hey, Alexa.
That's a question that I have. What's the difference between Siri and Alexa?
Same thing, different company.
Oh, okay. Siri
That's incredibly oversimplified, you know, because Alexa is a thing that, by and large, sits in your house, whereas Siri is in your phone. But you can say, hey, Siri, and then that works on Apple products. Alexa is put out by Amazon.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And Siri is primarily on your phone, whereas Alexa is migrating towards the phone, but is primarily a box that sits in your house. If you want to mess with somebody with an Alexa, just walk into their house, and as they welcome you and take your jackets, just, hey, Alexa, order eggs.
Or, Alexa, make my wife shut up. Will that work?
Well, there might, depending on your wife, there will either be stunned silence as they stare at you. You might just get hit.
That's right. The look of daggers.
I mean, if we're talking about machine learning, maybe Alexa could take verbal cues from you and just say the safe word that says, Skip, you're about to say something stupid. So all of a sudden, you and Sarah are talking, and Alexa pipes in with, pineapple. You know, you should probably be quiet because she can tell you're about to say something you shouldn't say.
Ah, okay, okay. Well, you know, I just think with technology, you can go too far, and there are definitely dangers. But I'm not sure how much of it is science fiction. I mean, the Terminator movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Skynet, took over the human race, right? And is it possible with artificial intelligence, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, could we be ruled by computers, robots, anything like that?
Well, they do outnumber us substantially. In the current system, they control all of our communications.
Yeah.
Right? Electricity, power grid, communication system, utilities. You know, we do have all of our eggs and, well, many baskets, but all of those baskets are still, you know, online. I don't know. Right now, they're not very mobile. They can only live in little boxes. They can travel to boxes all over the place. You know, they can amass more knowledge than we ever could. So there's a lot of strong suits there. So going for them, at least right now, making robots, maybe this will change. But for the moment, we still have the edge in that we can exist in real space and, like, walk around and do things. But going for them, they have control of all of our stuff.
Yeah.
And let's face it, people are becoming less and less able to care for themselves without Walmart and Amazon.
Well, and don't you think people are just becoming a lot more, they're less socially adept? And I think part of it is because of electronic devices. I mean, you'll see a group of people, you know, sitting around a table at a restaurant. All five of them have, you know, iPhones in front of them. And, you know, they could be texting each other. But it's like a lot of people have forgotten how to even communicate with each other. But they're great with their thumbs. I just don't think that's a good thing.
Well, what's interesting is people have started to realize that also. And now I've seen games on phones that they're making that are actually starting to become focused around bringing people together in what I'm going to just call real space. Like, they have games now where you can, it'll pull up your camera and the game. And so they will superimpose the game over what it sees in your camera.
Oh,
and
God.
So you can see the person that you're playing against, and, you know, like, missiles flying or this or that. Like, they've realized it's a problem, and now they're starting to try and make even these games to design them in such a way that they promote actual interaction. So that is plus one in the column of, we see the downsides of the technology and are taking steps to mitigate. It's actually really cool and interesting to see how people are trying to tackle some of these problems.
Yeah.
But yes, it still is a problem. One of the things that's kind of most concerning is I didn't get a chance to really dive into the study, but it's an article about how we have more access to information than we ever have, but we have less knowledge, because when you learn something, whenever you learn a piece of information, it goes to your short-term memory. And if you don't focus or think about it again, then it never makes its way to long-term memory and you forget it. You have to actually focus on it to move it from short-term to long-term memory.
Yeah.
And so if I need to know something, you know, hey Siri, what's the capital of Finland? She tells me, I'm like, all right, that's what it was. And then I just move on. And so I don't actually remember the knowledge. So we have access to more, but we know less.
Hmm.
And that is one of the things that I'm not entirely sure what to do about, but it does make me a little nervous.
Yeah. You know, Chris, that reminds me of the first Jurassic Park movie. Remember that one doctor who talked about chaos theory, Malcolm, Dr. Malcolm.
I saw that movie four times in theaters. I remember.
Well, you know, he talked about, you know, you were standing on the backs of geniuses to get where you are, but you didn't have to earn the knowledge. So you were so excited about what you could do, you didn't stop to think about whether or not you should be doing it. And so I hear what you're saying. When you don't have to earn something, you don't learn it. I mean, it used to be when you wanted to do a paper, you opened up a book and you had to read and read and read and dig and dig and dig. And in the process, you learned about a lot of things, a lot of the stuff you didn't need or you weren't looking for, but you learned it anyways. And I think when you pick up a book and you look at it and you read it and then you talk about it with others or you write about it, you remember it a lot more. But when you say, "Hey Siri, what's the capital of Finland?" it's gone.
Helsinki is the capital of Finland.
Okay, thank you very much.
See, look how helpful that was. Yeah, you're talking a lot about books. Are you just saying that because you're an author? Because I see what you're doing here.
Well, no, but that was just a prime example. My iPhone is sitting on the table here, and I said, "Siri, what is the capital of Finland?" And she came up and told me about it. So, hey, I guess that just goes to emphasize my point, doesn't it? Well,
there you go.
All right, Chris. Well, hey, there's good and bad in computers. To protect our families, we have to learn about our kids, you know, what their tolerances are, what their personalities are. And we have to spend face time with each other so that they learn how to talk to each other. You know, but I think it's great what Ethan is doing. You know, programming, writing programs and things like that at 8 years old. Because, you know, the job that our kids are going to get, you know, 15 years from now, they're probably going to be related to computers in one way or the other. Is that your opinion or not?
I think it's a thing that's going to continue to grow. I probably picked a really good time to get into software development full time. Yeah, I honestly don't know. I'm far from an economist, but because we still will need other things. We'll still need plumbers and electricians and people who build bridges that don't collapse. Looking at you, I-35, Minnesota. So no matter how techy things get, you still need these other things, and I think that we're about to hit a drought.
Yeah.
Maybe the pendulum will swing back. I don't know.
Well.
But you had asked one thing that a really key thing that I wanted to touch on before I forget, because you had asked, are there apps that can block things from your kids and keep your kids safe? And yes, there are. You can put things on your router. Most routers now come with parental controls built in. I can't remember if it's opendns.com or opendns.org, and they have free things you can use. There are tons of tools that you can use, but none of them will ever compare with just sitting down with your kids at the end of the day and asking them, you know, what have they found? What have they learned? What have they been looking at? And you know, that relationship and that FaceTime and that one-on-one is worth way more than any technological boundaries. The technological boundaries, the restrictions or safeguards that you can put in are great tools, but they're never going to replace you just being active and aware and engaged in your kid's life.
I agree. And there's some things that Siri just can't help you with. You're 12 years old, 13 years old, and you're having trouble, you need to talk to your parents. You don't need to talk to a computer. Here, let's check one thing before we go here. Siri, what is the purpose of life?
Okay, check it out.
Okay.
She just gave me like a Wikipedia article, didn't she?
Philosophical and spiritual question concerning the significance of living or existence in general. But she didn't answer my question. Siri does not know the meaning of life. We have to figure that out as human beings, and we do that by reading and by talking to each other and praying or all those things that humans have done long before computers existed. But there are limitations when you're talking about computers, and you do have to protect your family, and you had some good ideas, Chris. We are out of time now, son, but we will talk about this again, and we'll be coming down into your neck of the woods in about a month, and we'll do another podcast. Maybe we'll delve into this a little bit deeper. Chris, thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, folks, we're going to take another 2-minute break. When we come back in segment 4, I'll be giving you the wrap-up, and I'll tell you what I really think about all this computer stuff. All right.
I can't wait to hear that.
Okay. In 2 minutes, I'll come back, and I'll tell you what I really think about my son. Boy,
I can't wait to hear that either.
I could tell you some stories. All right. Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Take us there.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, an employee at a pizza restaurant in Florida used a personal firearm to save his life one night, successfully stopping someone who had ambushed him after the store had closed. The bad actor, wearing a clown mask, allegedly started to beat the employee with a piece of wood, sending the worker sprawling to the ground. Quote, even though he was getting attacked, he was able to pull out a concealed firearm. He was able to pull out a concealed firearm that he has and fire multiple rounds at the suspect, the police told a news reporter in Orlando. The employee then stowed his gun safely and called 911.
Thank you, Colonel. It's not every day that clowns go berserk and start robbing pizza joints, so I went on the internet to get some more information about this one. It appears that the employee was closing up the pizza restaurant late at night when he was attacked as he was locking the door. The clown hit him from behind with a 2x4 several times until the board broke. He then backed off long enough to pull out a pair of scissors and then renewed his attack. By then, Heriberto Feliciano had managed to pull his legally owned pistol and emptied the magazine into his attacker at close range. This pizza joint scenario is not an unusual one, and for those of us who work late at night in retail, you should always be on your guard for attacks like this. The attacking clown in this case was seen circling the parking lot several times before the store closing, and this is a common tactic in scoping out the scenario. Here are several tips you can use to avoid attacks of this nature. 1. Always be on full alert when locking up the store for the night. Bad guys know this is a time when you are closing the register, counting the money, and getting it ready for the bank deposit. 2. Watch the parking lot through the windows for any unusual activity. If you see a suspicious vehicle, don't go out there until they leave. If you can, take a picture or video to help the police with any investigation. 3. If you suspect you are about to be ambushed, immediately lock the doors and call police. Wait until they arrive to leave the building. And 4. Legally carry a firearm at all times and be proficient in its use and know the laws of deadly force in your area. You should also carry pepper spray and a cell phone. These are your tools of the trade, and you should never leave your home without them. And now a word of advice to any future clowns out there who want to hurt innocent citizens. Be aware that some of us are armed, and we don't think you're funny. Congratulations to this young man who used deadly force to protect his life. And to the clown he shot, the joke, it would appear, is on you.
I love it, Skip. I love it.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Hey, last two segments were fantastic. I always love talking to my kids, even when they're 31 years old. But now is the time in the show where I tell you what I really think. First, what do I think about my son, Chris? Well, that's easy. Not only do I love him, but I also like him. And that's a real plus, I can tell you. Have you ever heard the saying, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives? Well, that's true. But the bottom line is this. I would pick Chris as my son every single time. He's a top-notch man, a great husband to his wife, and a wonderful father to my 5 grandkids. Sure, we had some rocky spots when he was younger, but what can I say? Right now, he would probably tell you that I've matured quite a bit in the last 10 years or so, which is encouraging to me. So, now let's talk about computers and other electronic devices. I'm not near as fond of computer technology as I am my family. Sure, I understand how much good they do for humanity, but how can I say this? I still remember life before cell phones, before laptops, before Kindles and iPads and iPods and all those other funny-sounding devices. I don't much like them. On the other hand, you can't go back in time. It just doesn't work. In a few hours, I'm going out to my tree stand to hunt deer. I'll take a medieval-era crossbow, my bolts, my safety harness, my cover scent, and, oh, one other item, my iPhone. And here's why. I can turn off the ringer. While I'm sitting there for 4 hours waiting for Bambi's dad to waltz on by, I can check my email, keep in touch with my wife, you know, just in case there's an emergency back at the house. And I can also read that apocalyptic thriller about the Yellowstone supervolcano erupting and bringing the planet to near extinction. I love that. And how do you put a price on that? Have I ever missed a chance at a deer because I was messing around with my iPhone instead of paying attention? Yeah, sure. I suppose I have. But electronic devices come with a plus side, too. When I forget my flashlight and have to walk out of the woods after dark, I can still turn on the flashlight on my cell phone and not get shot by another hunter. I'd say that's a good thing. And perish the thought that I'd fall out of my tree stand and I'm hanging there and can't quite get back onto the ladder. Well, with my cell phone, I can still call up Sarah and have her send my son out to rescue me. Let's face it, there are a lot of times when computer technology saves our families. I would never deny that. They help us survive cancer, catch criminals, fly through the air safer, keep us from getting lost, and can even teach us and our family anything we want to know. Well, except, of course, the meaning of life. For that one, we'll always need a little help from the Almighty. But here's the thing. Sometimes I still miss the old days. When I got in my car and left on a journey and the phone never rang. Why? Because it was still attached to my wall back at the house. I miss folding up those stupid paper maps on a family vacation. I don't think I've ever gotten that one right.
When it comes to cell phones, the strength is that you can take them everywhere you go, and you can get more work done, and you can stay in touch with everyone in the entire world. But here's the downside of cell phones. You can take them everywhere you go, and you can get more work done and stay in touch with everyone in the entire world. Funny how the greatest upsides are also the greatest downsides. Folks, I get up every morning tired, and I go to bed every night totally exhausted. I miss the days when I had time to think, when I had time to talk to myself and to God. Have you ever cursed out loud when the phone rang? But my son is right. We have a choice. We can limit and control how much we let electronics invade and aid us in our lives. These days, I'm answering the phone less and less, and talking to people in person more and more. I like that. Without computers, my life would be slower and more relaxed, and I would like that very much. But I would miss the video FaceTime with my kids and grandkids. So the thing is, we all have to make choices. And one choice I choose more and more is to turn off the cell phone. Because I don't want the computer to run my life. I want to run the computer. And that, folks, is what I really think. Okay, we have run out of time. In fact, we've gone way over. I apologize for that. But hey, no computer can fix that. Next week on the Home Defense Show, we are going to be speaking with Eric Utrecht. He is the president of Michigan Gun Owners. Eric and I will be discussing the origins of Michigan Gun Owners, its history, its mission, its focus, all the things that they do for gun owners here in the state of Michigan. And then I want to get his opinion on the upcoming Michigan state elections, the gubernatorial elections, and all the congressional candidates, and see what his opinion is on that. Time for me to get out to my tree stand. That about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!